Hello and welcome to our podcast.
Hi, welcome to our podcast, Photography and Business Insight, what it takes to be successful.
And what does that really truly mean? It takes a lot of passion, it takes a lot of drive. What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Usually my alarm clock.
That damn thing.
Yep. Generally goes off at 6 a.m. I have my coffee, feed the cats, do my aerobics, or get a run in, or...
God, you are. the alarm goes off, I look at it. I usually have like a number of different times on it. One is, if I don't have to be anywhere, it's like 7:30, and then it's 7:45, and then it's 7:50, and then it's 8 o'clock, and oh, thanks. Yeah, you do the same thing. Phones. We live and die by our phones. Charging right by the bed. God forbid we should forget to do that.
Right.
So, but seriously, you know, what does get you out of bed in the morning? What do you think about the first thing you get out of bed? Do you look at your phone right away when you get out of bed?
And unfortunately, yes.
And you and the rest of the world have been actually hearing more and more of that. People have been really just, they look at their phone about, 150 times a day or something? It's crazy.
Yeah. And when I'm doing Instagram, it's even more than that. It's kind of scary.
And we all stare at screens all day long, and that's all well, fun, and good, but you know, you can stare at a screen all day long, but how do you keep that level of energy up, and how do you keep that level of passion up all day long? And listen, most people just work in a cubicle.
What's that?
Exactly. We don't have one of those here. In fact, as we sit here and record this thing, we're actually sitting in my dining room with a computer in a corner, which is where Alyssa works, and I have a little crawl space upstairs in between the bedrooms, which is my office, in addition to the studio, which is in Framingham. And then we have another little room in the house, which is the office. But, you know, when you have a small business, it's everything is all in one place. So it's you're dealing with trying to stay motivated, trying to stay passionate, trying to do what you love to do in your home environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that when the phone rings and the dog barks next door and all these interruptions, you know, the UPS driver or the FedEx driver shows up and you're trying to stay focused, you're trying to stay driven, and then ding dong, you know, all of a sudden squirrel, you know, or
distraction.
Oh my God.
So where was I?
Exactly. Where was I again? You know, it's really hard, I think, with lots of distractions and a lot of things that you do from day to day and week to week. I mean, how do you stay over the long term passionate and driven about what you do? And I've said that a number of times, but it really is true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, it still goes back to the last podcast, which we did, which was about goal setting, and in our case, 2017, 2018. You know, what's the thought process of reevaluation and reinvention? What do I do, or what do you do to stay motivated? You know, how to get your re-education or education? What do you look for in the latest trends?
Yeah, I mean, I do personally Google searches or Ask Siri, and you know, online searches my go-to for inspiration. You like to go to bookstores, and I used to go to bookstores, and I probably should start going again.
The internet's great. It's great having a screen in front of you, but
maybe information at your fingertips.
Yeah, maybe I'm just old school. I like to have something tangible in my hands. I like to pick up a book and read, although I'm not a big fiction reader by any stretch of the imagination. Most of what I read tends to be nonfiction or educational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Who are your inspirations? I mean, for me, it's always been Disney.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been Walt Disney. The thought process, the creativity, the, you know.
Yeah, Creativity, Inc. by Ed Catmull. It was a great book.
Great book. For those of you who don't know who Ed Catmull is, he was the one of the founders of Pixar Animation, which is now owned by Disney. And, you know, so how do you constantly think about all the things that you want to do without becoming overwhelmed all the time? And I think that's a big problem for people who are solopreneurs, who work either by themselves or with a small team. You know, you're always constantly having to come up with new ideas. And as Apple does, you can have 100 ideas, but which one or two of those 100 ideas is the real great idea? And I think that, how does that fit into the context of your business plan? And of what you're trying to achieve every day and every month and every year? And that all, of course, comes into the whole goal setting thing. It comes into making your numbers, and the kinds of clients you want to work with, and how you set up your processes and internal systems. It's all based around what is it you really want to do when you grow up, or what motivates you to get out of bed every morning.
Right.
You're not feeling motivated, like, oh, I don't really want to get on the phone and make phone calls today, or do I really have to sit in front of the computer and do emails all day? And as I always say, you know, do I really have to dial for dollars? But if you're at a Monday and you look at your week and you're not all that busy, and you know by Friday you've got to be able to do a certain amount of jobs to make the bills and to make payroll, because you know this week is payroll or next week is payroll, and mm-hmm. you're not there yet, you've got to have that internal motivation and that internal inspiration to say, well, I can't go to Disney World today, but I am going to go to Disney World in the future, and I don't know exactly when that is, but I know I'm going to get there. Here I am today. I've got to motivate myself to work towards that goal, and the only way I know how to work towards that goal is to force myself to sit down, go through my leads, go through my follow-up, and my follow-up being, in this case, we have just put everything into the cloud. We use a piece of software, which is really wonderful. We've actually helped them working with a consultant who's been working with a company called Studio Cloud, and it's an excellent piece of software. It's still in process as far as where it needs to be, but it works for us. We came to the realization a few years ago that we needed to work smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. We needed to have a better way of organizing our clients, or what was called a CRM, organizing our database, being able to put notes into it, being able to have it so that we have everything we need in there for that particular client.
And what's CRM?
So CRM, for those of you that don't know what it means, it's called Custom Relationship Management. And yes, I'm cheating. I'm looking at Wikipedia.
Okay, all else information fails, at your fingertips.
Information at your fingertips. It says, Custom Relationship Management is an approach to managing a company's interaction with current and potential future customers, which tries to analyze data about customers' history with, and that's as far as I got, you can look it up yourself. But basically, you know, in a nutshell, what CRM is being able to take your client database, have it organized so that at your fingertips you can go and look up a particular client, know your entire history about them. Mm-hmm. You can turn them from a prospect into a client and be able to track them over the course of time.
Okay.
And you can just put everything in there, and it's great. And it just helps you stay more organized. It helps you stay more focused. It helps you think about what you do more clearly.
And what type of things do you track?
We track everything from the first time I meet a prospect, because mm-hmm. They're not a client yet. So the first time I meet someone, we consider them to be a lead. Uh-huh. And then, unless they say, I want to hire you, Johnny, on the spot, which has happened. But assuming that doesn't happen, you think of them as a prospect, someone who you could potentially do business with, and you put that information into the database, such as, okay, you put in some note, you put in their name, their company, the email, phone number, and then all your notes about them, what you spoke about, and then now you have a way to track it and go, okay, on such and such a date, this is what we did, what's this step, today I emailed them or I met them, and then, you know, what's the next step? Mm-hmm. So there's a line that says, okay, you know, what are the next series of steps? Which means it could be you put a date in and say, okay, projected out date, I'm going to call them next week, and you put the date of that in, and then you say, okay, I'm going to follow up, or I'm going to follow up with a phone call, I'm going to follow up with an email, I'm going to whatever the case may be. And then when that comes up, you can set an alarm if you want, and it will alert you to, okay, when you open up your computer that morning, it's right in front of you.
Contact so-and-so.
Yeah.
It's regarding such and such an event.
Exactly. And so it reminds you that you have to go contact this person. Mm-hmm. And then you do that, and then you have the next series of conversations. You either reached them and had a conversation, or they weren't in their office, so you left a message, or you emailed them to follow up. Because, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people listen to their voicemail, sometimes they don't, so now you have to send them an email, because they, most like everyone, they have their phone with them everywhere.
Right.
And everybody's, like I say, constantly checking their email. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the basic understanding of what a CRM is, and then once they either become a client or not a client, or they become a potential future client, you have all this information into this database. And then, okay, where am I now? Someone asks you, or you want to go next week or the week after or a month from now or a year from now, and you go, oh, geez, I was just thinking about that person the other day. I wonder if they're still in my CRM or in my case, Studio Cloud. And let me go check them out, and I go in there and I can find them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I was supposed to call them on, or I was supposed to contact them on such and such a date. Or you can set an alert for a future date that you need to contact them again, and this will do it automatically for you.
Cool.
So it's a very useful tool. You know, it's different than a camera, but it's no less important. And in some ways, more important, because without having this tool to remind you that you need to contact this person and get a new client or mm-hmm. continue on with an existing client, you don't have any way to go take pictures.
Right.
That's what this Studio Cloud is, essentially.
Oh, very cool.
And it does even more than that. So I would strongly recommend this particular piece of software. There's many different types. There's things like also Salesforce.com. This particular piece of software, Studio Cloud, is specific to photographers.
Oh, okay.
Because we've been custom designing with a consultant who's been working with the company to address our needs. We've been able to actually help them customize this piece of software. And it's commercially available in the marketplace. And they keep adding to it. They're very open to our ideas and suggestions. And it's been great.
Yeah, so you're a real pioneer in this little niche of Studio Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
And it's one of those monthly fee things. It's not that expensive. And you can have it on one computer. You can have it on multiple computers.
Or multiple devices.
Multiple devices, exactly. And it works on Macs, PCs, mobile devices, all different types. So
great.
So that's that in a nutshell. But that's one of the internal tools that we use here to help us stay organized. In turn, by us helping to stay organized, it continues that passion. It continues the drive to do what we love to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have systems in place in order to do those things.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just, what did I do with my note? Where did I put it? Is it here? Is it there? And then you never find it, or you do find it under a pile of papers one day, and that opportunity has gone.
Right.
The other thing that I wanted to get into to talk about today, just very briefly, and it's really important, I feel, something that I've always believed in is safety nets. And what are safety nets? Well, safety nets are things like you run a business, you do everything, you wear all different kinds of hats, and then at the end of the day, or the end of the week, or the end of the month, or the end of the year, you say, okay, how much money did I make?
Mm-hmm.
And how much money was I able to put away? And if the answer is, I made money, but I wasn't able to save a dime, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And something I learned a long time ago from a gentleman, but he was a photographer, his name was Charles Lewis, and I actually got an opportunity many years ago to listen to him, and Charles had spoken in front of Professional Photographers of America. And as much as he was a great photographer, he was also a really great business person. And he said something like, it's great to love what you do, it's great to be able to do what you love to do every single day, but in the end, you have to be able to sell what you do, and at the same time, you also have to be able to put some money away and plan for the future, because you're only going to work so many years, and you're only going to be able to work so many hours of the day, and the older you get, the harder it becomes to be able to maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, people, it does. So one of the things that you need to learn to become, in addition to becoming a photographer, is you need to learn a little bit more about financial planning. You need to learn a little bit more about business, how to run a business, which is a whole topic unto itself. If you don't know how to do that, get someone to really help you with that. And I'm not talking about an accountant because they don't know how to run a photography business, because they only think numbers. They don't think necessarily creatively from a photography standpoint. You'd be lucky if you can find someone that can do both.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people like that, but they're hard to find. We were lucky we had an accountant here who was very creative, and an artist was also an accountant. That was the ideal of both
Roz
worlds.
Roz was great.
Yeah, Roz was great. So unfortunately, she has now moved on, and we've gotten another wonderful person in who's helping us, who's also creative, but in a very different way. But financial security and having your own business, you know, what does that look like? You know, how do you save? How do you invest in stocks without becoming a day trader? How do you organize your life? And Studio Cloud is part of the internal process that we use. This is all part of the process. So, you know, what I mean by financial security is if you say, okay, I want to start putting money away in the bank, how do you do that every week or every month? Well, this is something I started. I'll just pass along a little tidbit of information. If you have to physically go and say, okay, I'm going to take X amount of dollars every single week and I'm going to put it into an investment fund.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to put it in some type of mutual fund or an index stock or an individual stock or whatever the case may be. How am I going to do that? What does that look like? And am I going to physically be able to write a check, take that check, go to the bank, put it in the bank, and have it go into the account that I want it to? No. You'll want to. You'll promise yourself you're going to do it. You will never do it. Maybe you're better than me, but
I have automatic deposited.
Exactly. So what you do is you set yourself up either an IRA or a Roth fund, and you automatically, any number of companies that offer this kind of service, and you can go in and set up a stock fund or a stock account, and you can fund it initially. Mm-hmm. And then what you do is every single week or every single month, you take out a certain amount of money that automatically comes right out of your business checking account mm-hmm. into this fund, and it yes. funds it. And I've been doing that for years, and it really does work. Now, obviously, if it's coming out of a company, at the end of the year, you report all that mm-hmm. and goes against your payroll or your draw or however you set it all up based on your business. But I found that this way, for example, we have an account that I've had for many, many, many years. And in our case, we take out $25 a week, so like $100 a month.
Yeah, that's about what I do.
Yeah, about. Now, it seems like, okay, that's not a lot of money. Well, multiply that times 12 months, that's $1,200. Mm-hmm. Okay, multiply that times 2, 3, 4 years, all of a sudden, now you've got 12, 24, 36, if you don't touch it.
Right.
And it also is invested in other things. It's mm-hmm. based on the stock market. So if the stock market's going up, it will continue to grow. On the other side, if it isn't, then...
You can lose money.
You can lose money, but that's the stock market. It's like the casino. Mm-hmm. So why do I do that? Well, I learned early on that I needed a way to save. I consider my rainy day fund. What do I mean by rainy day? You're out in a job, your camera breaks, you drop a lens, you need another piece of equipment, you need to go buy a printer, you need to go buy another computer, you need something, mm-hmm. but you don't have the ready available cash on hand to go do this. Now you have other choices, you can put it on a credit card, you can pay it outright if you have enough cash flow, but let's say you don't have enough cash flow, let's say you don't have enough available credit to you and you just don't want to put it on a credit card. Or you don't want to lease it. You just want to pay for it outright. It's an item that is, let's say, a few $1,000, whatever. Not fortune of money, but enough that you'd say, well, gee, you know, I've got $3,500 sitting in my account. Well, I could pull out a good 2/3 and you pay a fee mm-hmm. to sell it, and then you would report it. But basically, what happens is you take that money out, and now you have cash. You can put it back into your checking account, and then you would have the money available to go buy whatever it is that you needed. Now, that's an extreme position. Or, God forbid, the end of the month, you run short because business was not that great that month. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, that's not the case, but you've created yourself a little pool of cash that if, God forbid, you ever needed, it's there. So the point that I'm trying to make is that by doing stuff like this, it allows you to have some extra cash available on hand that you won't miss. It's the same thing with if you're trying to, out of your regular paycheck, if you take out a certain amount of money every single week mm-hmm. or every couple of weeks, however you pay yourself, and you create your own savings account or mm-hmm. stock account or whatever account you want to make, just a place where you can put money away, you can save it.
Like
a rainy day fund for you too. Mm-hmm. And I've done this for years and it's always been very beneficial. And it's come in really handy at times when we've really needed to tap it. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that I would tell you from a financial standpoint that really does work. Other things you can do on a personal side, if you're really brave, you can invest in stocks. How does one do that? One does that by finding a guru, someone that they feel comfortable with, and it's an education process. What does that education process look like? In my case, I look at people like Jim Cramer. I look at a number of other people who are in the industry who I respect. I certainly respect Cramer. So if you're unsure how to do all this stuff, a strong suggestion I would make is go to your local chamber of commerce or go online and look at something like a Vanguard, look at something like a TD Ameritrade. If you're not really sure, call them. They'll be more than happy to help you in this process, and they can help you set everything up and they can advise you if you really want to learn more about it. There's certainly a lot of resources available. So that's my little spiel today on investing without being a day trader. And it's what I do, but at the same time, I also realize that investing in the stock market is at best investing in the casino. And there are going to be great days that you're up, and there are going to be other days that maybe you're not up mm-hmm. and you can't.
Right, you have to hope for the best over the long term.
Yeah.
Think of it as a long term thing and not like a quick turnaround.
Exactly. But, you know, the law of averages says that over a long period of time, if you invest properly, things will grow.
Right.
So that's just a general overview without getting into specific stocks or, you know, that's all an individual choice or what type of funds you want to get into or any of that stuff. You have to work at your own comfort level.
Yes.
And then just build your safety nets. This is all long-term stuff. This is not stuff that happens immediately. It's over the course of literally of months and sometimes years.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to think, when you have your own business, you have to think in those terms.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think day to day, of course, you know, for clients and for the work that gets done. But investing is a whole different type of ballgame.
Right.
So the reason we're talking about this subject, which is about as far away from photography as you can possibly get, it's still very important in terms of the whole scheme of how to sustain yourself.
Right. Over the running long, a business.
Running a business. You know.
And planning for your life long term.
Exactly. So if you want to have your business and you want to progress and you want to have a life and family mm-hmm. and children and at some point hopefully a really wonderful retirement, you've got to think along these terms.
Right.
No one told me initially, you know, how much money to invest. No one told me, you know, what I should be doing. It's just stuff that I've learned along the way. And we feel it's important to pass this knowledge along because there's always questions. How much should I invest? Should I be investing? What are the risks?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the upsides? What are the downsides?
Right. It's good to have some awareness of the trends in the stock market and have an idea and not just put all your trust into one person's opinion.
Exactly. So this is what we're doing. It seems to be working. But, you know, again, good days, bad days, you just kind of roll with it. So we hope this at least gives you some insight into how a creative person thinks on along these lines and would be, with the knowledge that we impart, will be beneficial and to help you do what you want to do.
Right. Good words of wisdom.
So thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate your time. Again, feel free if you have any questions or thoughts, drop us a line, send us an email. Please rate us on iTunes.
Yes. Thanks for listening and happy shooting.